Task 2. Deprescribing. Listen to an extract from a radio program on deprescribing. Choose the correct option, A, B, C, for questions 1 to 6. Question 0 is an example. You will hear the recording twice. You will have 30 seconds between the first and second listening, and 60 seconds at the end. You now have 90 seconds to read the questions. Don't forget to write your answers on the answer sheet.
And starting this new series with a special program on a relatively new concept, deprescribing, taking people off medication that they no longer need, may not benefit from, or which may actually be harming them. It's an issue we've been looking into since visiting a Hospital Falls clinic in 2015. One of the patients we met had fallen and broken his shoulder.
Have you got any problems with blood pressure?
No, it's all under control.
So you're on tablets for blood pressure, are you? Can you remember what they are?
Tablets and all sorts. I've got a list in my pocket.
How many are there?
Yeah.
Need a wheelbarrow to get them.
Got Ramipril, which will make you fall over. Spironolactone, make you fall over. Furosemide, make you fall over.
16. Quite a nice little cocktail, isn't it?
A cocktail of 16 medicines that turned out to contain 4 that could make that patient lightheaded, making falls more likely. And he's far from alone. The number of older people taking 5 or more medicines in the UK has quadrupled over the last 2 decades. So that's from 1 in 8 in the late 90s to 1 in 2 today. Not that you need to be old. In Liverpool, Dr. Dan Hawcutt leads a deprescribing ward round at Alder Hey Children's Hospital.
To my knowledge, this is the only drug optimisation and deprescribing ward round in the country in children. And sometimes you might end up with multiple medicines that do the same thing. You might have medicines where the problem has actually gone away, and yet they're still on it because the team aren't involved anymore. They might have transferred to a different hospital and people pick up the medicines they're on and don't necessarily question why they're using individual medicines.
And deprescribing has become a global movement, with Australia and Canada at the vanguard. The UK is following their example, and as of last month, England now has a national deprescribing network known as EDEN. Pharmacist Emma McClay is its co-chair.
We've been in touch with Canada and Australia, and they've been very, very helpful and very supportive.
And they lead the way.
So they have their own deprescribing networks, and Canada particularly has about 5 or 6 guidelines on how to stop certain types and classes of medicines.
So how did we end up in this situation? GP Dr. Margaret McCartney and Emily Reeve, a pharmacist and research fellow at the University of South Australia.
Yeah, so our healthcare system is kind of built on a single disease model. So somebody has diabetes, or they have heart failure, or they have osteoporosis. But with the aging population, we're getting people who have all 3 of those conditions. And so when you use treatment guidelines for each of these individual conditions, people end up on a lot of medications.
So you can end up with taking tablets to treat the side effects of other tablets. And things can, I suppose, really escalate from there. Whereas what we probably should be thinking of is whether the initial prescriptions are still a good idea and whether we're perhaps adding more medications in on top that wouldn't be needed had we stopped to think about whether the first prescription was actually beneficial.
Emily, this is a fundamental problem, isn't it? We've got lots of guidelines on initiating therapy.
So this is something that is changing, driven by some work by a Canadian group developing drug-specific deprescribing guidelines, and I was actually involved in developing one of them. And it can be a bit challenging because we don't have the same kind of evidence to develop the deprescribing guidelines that we have to develop prescribing guidelines. That's because the original studies, the randomized controlled trials, which are often conducted by pharmaceutical companies, are really focused on starting the medications and what the benefits of the medications might be, whereas those kind of trials don't capture, you know, how long should the medication be continued and, in fact, when the medication should be stopped and how the medication should be stopped.
Now, listen again.
And starting this new series with a special programme on a relatively new concept, de-prescribing, taking people off medication that they no longer need, may not benefit from, or which may actually be harming them. It's an issue we've been looking into since visiting a Hospital Falls clinic in 2015. One of the patients we met had fallen and broken his shoulder.
Have you got any problems with blood pressure?
No, it's all under control.
So you're on tablets for blood pressure, are you? Can you remember what they are?
Tablets and all sorts. I've got a list in my pocket.
How many are there?
Yeah.
Need a wheelbarrow to get them.
Got Ramipril, which will make you fall over, spironolactone, make you fall over, furosemide, make you fall over.
16. Quite a nice little cocktail, isn't it?
A cocktail of 16 medicines that turned out to contain 4 that could make that patient lightheaded, making falls more likely. And he's far from alone. The number of older people taking 5 or more medicines in the UK has quadrupled over the last 2 decades. So that's from 1 in 8 in the late 90s to 1 in 2 today. Not that you need to be old. In Liverpool, Dr. Dan Hawcutt leads a deprescribing ward round at Alder Hey Children's Hospital.
To my knowledge, this is the only drug optimisation and deprescribing ward round in the country in children. And sometimes you might end up with multiple medicines that do the same thing. You might have medicines where the problem has actually gone away and yet they're still on it because the team aren't involved anymore. They might have transferred to a different hospital and people pick up the medicines they're on and don't necessarily question why they're using individual medicines.
And deprescribing has become a global movement, with Australia and Canada at the vanguard. The UK is following their example, and as of last month, England now has a national deprescribing network known as EDEN. Pharmacist Emma McClay is its co-chair.
We've been in touch with Canada and Australia, and they've been very, very helpful and very supportive.
And they lead the way.
So they have their own deprescribing networks, and Canada particularly has about 5 or 6 guidelines on how to stop certain types and classes of medicines.
So how did we end up in this situation? GP Dr. Margaret McCartney and Emily Reeve, a pharmacist and research fellow at the University of South Australia.
Yeah, so our healthcare system is kind of built on a single disease model. So somebody has diabetes or they have heart failure or they have osteoporosis. But with the aging population, we're getting people who have all 3 of those conditions. And so when you use treatment guidelines for each of these individual conditions, people end up on a lot of medications.
So you can end up with taking tablets to treat the side effects of other tablets. And things can, I suppose, really escalate from there. Whereas what we probably should be thinking of is whether the initial prescriptions are still a good idea and whether we're perhaps adding more medications in on top that wouldn't be needed had we stopped to think about whether the first prescription was actually beneficial.
Emily, this is a fundamental problem, isn't it? We've got lots of guidelines on initiating therapy.
So this is something that is changing, driven by some work by a Canadian group developing drug-specific deprescribing guidelines, and I was actually involved in developing one of them. And it can be a bit challenging because we don't have the same kind of evidence to develop the deprescribing guidelines that we have to develop prescribing guidelines. That's because the original studies, the randomized controlled trials, which are often conducted by pharmaceutical companies, are really focused on starting the medications and what the benefits of the medications might be, whereas those kind of trials don't capture, you know, how long should the medication be continued and, in fact, when the medication should be stopped and how the medication should be stopped.
This is the end of listening 2.